Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Diva of Days of Our Lives. We'll be talking about the show this past week, but before we get started, please check us out on our blog at blogspot.com and at Diva of Dole, and follow us on Twitter at Diva of Dole and at Diva Days on Facebook. We're also on iTunes, and you can find us at Google. And joining me tonight is Anna. Cosy Hooch.
Hello. Hello.
And I'm Marianne.
Long time no here.
Yeah. Just talked a couple of days
Marianne
ago.
Marianne at Mama. At Mama underscore Hooch.
Core Hooch. And Carrie is Diva of Dole. And
she's sick tonight, so we want to send our well wishes to the Diva.
Okay.
Hope she gets better soon.
And let's see, at Lauren Coslow, be sure to check her out, and at Teo Penglis, and at Condre Fan. We're hoping Kate and Andre pairing here. So
we need to have a new dark queen or gray queen and king of Salem.
Yes, I think they'd make a good
very
good couple.
Sexy.
hot, sexy, bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bad and good.
And also,
Weevil.
Bad and good. Yeah. They both do bad, so good, I guess you could say.
Oh, yeah. That would be a good
one.
Yeah. I love
it. Or they make bad look good, so good. Yeah.
Oh, I like that. That is good.
Yeah. So, and also, I had to pimp Bob Hapka. And yes, Bob, I'll, if you want a polka, we'll polka. So Bob had out on Facebook, he says, I feel like I want a polka. So I don't know what that was all about. I liked it. I don't know. Maybe he can call in and explain it. So I don't know if he's out there. And also I had Amy Hapka. So there we go. I guess we got everybody. Oh, and Ian Buchanan. I can't forget my dear Ian Buchanan, too. So he's over filming a movie.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so.
Oh, where is he filming? Yeah.
Is it the Bhutan? Over there in,
Britain?
Somewhere. Yeah. Bhutan? Brutan?
Oh,
I think that's
okay.
What it is. Yeah. But it's I forget what
that
the
movie
sounds
is. Exotic.
But, yeah.
Good for him.
Anyway.
He is the sweetest guy. We just
I'm hoping he comes back to General Hospital or Days or wherever. Somewhere. Yeah. I still say he'll be back at General Hospital sometime, so.
He's got to come back there.
Yeah.
But they've got to do more for him than have him bring Anna's coffee and lunch and stuff. So.
Yeah.
So when they're ready for a good story, we're ready. We're ready as soon as possible.
Okay.
Maybe I'll start watching General Hospital again.
Yeah, I've gotten away from it. Boy, I was really faithful there for a while, but I haven't watched it in probably 5-6 months now. I just kind of gotten away from it. I mean, Days has pulled me in, and the spot like I might get back to General Hospital, but Days has really been good. But maybe before we start that, we had an interview a couple of days ago on Thursday evening with Jen Lilly, who plays Teresa Donovan on Days, and she's with us for about an hour and a half. We had a lot of callers. And we had a surprise caller. So I don't know, Anna, if you want to talk about that. You talked to her, you know.
Well,
I was manning the switchboard there, getting calls. And
You got interrupted a lot, so probably didn't hear some of the conversation. But, yeah, it was really nice. A nice broad cross-section of fans called in and people that had met her at some events and then people who love Days and like love her character, and we talked about her character and story, some, you know, Teresa, where she's at right now and everything. We talked about some of the aspects of the Basic Black team, the ladies, the Kate, Teresa, and Nicole, and sounds like Teresa and Nicole will be bonding through this, probably with the whole Brady sharing Daniel's heart thing. That's going to make everything more dramatic.
Right.
It sounds like they become friends and, grows closer instead of frenemies, more like friends. And, she gave some good insight into some of the things that go on, and we just learned a lot about her. It was fun because I had really felt like I had just met her at Dave Days, but there I learned more about her after that and didn't even realize. I knew she was singing and that she had, you know,
she has a lot on her plate,
things like
she's
that,
involved in a
but
lot of
she
stuff.
Also does a lot of charity work for Child Help, and it's a very good organization, so definitely check Child Help out. And she did a second designer collection for them, clothing line for them to raise some money. And so she just finished that. And apparently you're not able to buy anything after the sale closes. I guess they keep it very exclusive. So darn it, we weren't able to extend that or anything. But that just wrapped up. But very neat. They do Child Help, and the money was going to help Child Help. This organization that's been around for, what she say, 60 or 70 years. They're very, something like 93% of the proceeds.
I think Ian's involved. Yeah, I think Ian's involved with Child
Help, too.
I think he
will be, yeah.
I think,
and,
yeah,
and
he is,
And she said
too.
That they definitely take the kids that basically everybody else has written off, and they have a lot of expertise in working with those children that have been traumatized beyond traumatized. And in many ways in their young lives, and help to, you know, turn them into, you know, hopefully productive citizens who are happy and healthy in all respects. So sounds like a very worthy cause, and you can certainly find Jen Lilly at Jen, J-E-N, underscore Lilly, L-I-L-L-E-Y, on Twitter, and also, I know she's on Facebook, and then and then you can also find Child Help. I think she said it might just be childhelp.org. I don't have it in front of me. But anyway, so we learned more about that, and that was really interesting. Mm-hmm. And then also she's very much a do-it-yourselfer, like our dear Diva Carrie. And I wish that Carrie had been able to make it, because they probably have some designer war stories that they could share, designer injuries. But we talked a little bit about her, Jen's passion for redesigning things, you know, renovations and stuff. And she had just Instagrammed some pictures of her bedroom that she redid over the week that they were dark this week, and very economically and everything. So she's got a way to do it on a budget. Also very, very interesting person. Very much enjoyed talking with her. And so definitely check that out. You can find that, like Marianne said, the interview should be up on iTunes, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If not, let us know. We'll be sure to get it on there. And and then it's also, of course, on divaofduel.com. And definitely check that out. Play it while you're on the treadmill or whatever. If you're in Snowzilla and have some downtime, rather than digging out tomorrow, maybe you can check it out. And of course, they're not allowed to tell us a lot about what's coming up, but it did sound like Nicole and Teresa were going to start bonding more. And then, as you reminded me, we had a special guest. So it was funny.
We were on the subject of.
Go ahead. Go ahead, and since you took the call, why don't you share what happened?
First of all, how it started out was because Jen had done the Book of Esther with Teo, so I kind of was talking to her. We were talking about that and about Teo and how fascinating he is and how she loves working with him, loved working with him. But of course, unfortunately, on day she hasn't really had seen Teresa and Andre haven't really crossed paths or haven't, you know, done any scenes together. And she would just love to work with him. And I said, oh yeah, you know, you have to her and her bad, you know, she's kind of being a little good now, but bad Teresa would have been great teaming up with Andre. So, but then it was mentioned about, well, how about Chad? You know, now that, I don't know what's going to happen with Abigail, whether they're going to recast her or what's going to happen since Kate Manzi has left. So, so we were kind of talking about that, and we got another caller. So I went in and got the call, and I said, area code 818, would you like to talk to Jen? And he said, yes, this is Billy Flynn. I play Chad DeMira on Days of Our Lives. I said, oh, yeah, I know who you are. I said, oh, yeah, we were just talking about you. He said, that's what I heard. He said, oh, my God, we were just talking about you. And he said, yeah, that's what I heard. He said, someone tweeted me that I should call into your show that you were talking about Chad and Teresa. So could you please tell Teresa that Chad wants to talk to her? So I brought him on and told Jen that Chad wanted to speak to her. So they kind of conversed for a little bit. So that was
that was a surprise.
That was
fun.
That was fun.
That was a big surprise. That was a lot of fun. So
yeah,
we
did not know that was coming, and it was not set up by anyone, except for the fan. It just happened. He happened to be on Twitter, and a fan of his tweeted to him. Yeah. So
yeah, that was cool. That was so cool. We were happy that you called in.
So maybe we will have Chad and Teresa. I don't know what we'd call them. What, Teresa or Thad? I don't know.
Let's see. I don't know.
Interesting.
We'll have to think of that.
Yeah.
Cheese?
I don't know.
Cheesa? I don't know.
I don't know. So
we'll figure something out.
Yeah. You never know. So you have to come to these Diva interviews. You just never know.
You just never know. We do have
surprises
every once in a while.
We've had surprise callers over the years. So you never know.
Yep. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I have to check that out. Yeah, I told Billy, I said, well, you know, maybe there ought to be like a bear chest off between Brady and you. And he said, well, I lose that. He goes, he's got the best chest, you know. And he was like, and I said, well, okay, well, how about your blue eyes versus his bare chest? So we decided that might be a more fair, you know, we girls.
Yeah, he would win the eyes hands down. You know,
and then Brady would win the chest.
The chest. Oh yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
but we had
Billy,
that.
But yeah, Brady's got you there.
Well, I mean, he appreciates it. Obviously he knows.
Oh, he was funny about it. Yeah, he was
hilarious about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so we had fun with that, but we thought, oh, that would be kind of interesting to see Teresa get into the DeMira orbit. That would be very interesting. So anyway, so yeah, we had a great time. Learned a lot about Jen, a lot about the show, and some things about Teresa. And so anyway, just check it out on iTunes and enjoy.
Yep.
And we may have a few, one or two others coming up as well, but we're not ready to announce those.
That'll be good.
So,
we're working on some others, so it'll be fun. Okay, so I guess we can talk about the show. Let's see. Who should we start with?
I'd love to start with David Irizarry, who plays Deimos. Curiosity.
Deimos.
Finally made
interesting
his first
character.
Appearance.
Yes.
Yes.
I like him.
He finally made his.
I got a favorite from him. Ooh. I tweeted him.
Cool.
I got a favorite. I kind of more or less just like a welcome. You know, I says,
yeah.
I'm already, I said, I'm already intrigued. You know.
Oh yeah.
I said,
me too.
I said I love the bad boys
already too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So.
Yeah. Because I didn't get to watch the first episode until today, so I just saw him today, and I thought, ooh, later I'm gonna have to tweet him and welcome him today. So I was thinking the same thing. But yeah, he made his entrance in the Kyriakos mansion, and basically Victor was none too happy to see him. So there was a lot of tension between those two, and basically from what we've gleaned so far, is Deimos is his baby brother from Victor's baby brother from his father's second marriage, and so when he was 20, apparently Victor was getting ready to marry. A girl, what's her name? Oh, not Helena.
Helena,
yeah. Something like that. And apparently 4 days before the wedding, Deimos, who was apparently obsessed with this woman, you know, went to bed with her, and when Victor found out about it, he confronted Helena, and basically she didn't deny it. She admitted it and everything, and so then I guess, like, the next day, and I guess this was back in Greece, supposedly, so the next day, apparently, they found her body, what, off a cliff or something?
Well, they said her and Deimos supposedly had a fight or something, and supposedly he pushed her off the cliff or something.
Yeah,
and
that's
where he went to prison
implying
for the last
30
years. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he's implying. Now, we don't really know that that's
true. I have a feeling, if you watch the whole thing, I have a feeling that it might have been Victor, the one that killed him.
Yes,
I think Victor has the secret. Because he's sitting there by his chair, and he's just contemplating things, and he's thinking back of this. Yes, and I'm thinking
I got that feeling,
the one that
too.
Did it.
And he certainly
and maybe framed
Deimos.
Maggie.
Yeah. Well, because Deimos definitely doesn't seem like he feels like he should have been in jail or prison for 30 years. So, you know.
He's back for revenge against Victor.
He feels like Victor owes him something because he wants a job because he just got out of prison because he was a model prisoner. So that made me think, okay, well, Deimos seems to feel that Victor owes him something, so maybe he went to jail, maybe he went to prison for a murder he didn't commit, and that he knows full well maybe Victor did. So, or maybe it was one of those things where Victor went and they got angry. He got angry at her in a fit of anger or something. She fell off a cliff or something. Who knows? But anyway, yeah, there's enough mystery there to make it seem that
and,
all is not as it seems.
And Philip, we find out, is working for Deimos. They've had their little rendezvous, and he more or less said about taking down Victor, taking down Titan, or taking down Victor, or taking it over, taking control of Titan.
Right.
Philip.
And Philip told him he
didn't want to do it anymore.
Right,
but
he's
more or less
got
threatening
some sort of dirt on Philip.
He's got some dirt on Philip.
He says, well, I'll go to Victor and tell him about you. And so we don't know what dirt he's got on Philip. But he's using that as leverage to get what he wants from Philip. So, and I kind of, now it makes sense that, you know, I was thinking, how did this guy who got out of prison, having been in prison for 30 years, and none of his relatives are over there anymore, apparently, pretty much, that how did he manage to show up in an Italian suit in Salem, you know? So I thought, maybe Philip's the one that arranged for all that. Who knows? But he does look mighty good. He does look mighty good.
He does look good. Yes,
He's a very nice looking man. And there's some definite intrigue. And I also like the little sense of humor that he had, kind of tweaking Victor. I like that, too. He definitely had a twinge of humor
there. A little sarcasm. So him and the
one-liners
between him and Victor should be.
Yeah.
Could be
Victor? Yeah. Hopefully it's genetic. I should tweet that. Hopefully the one-liner, the quick wit and one-liners. But anyway, so but Victor seems very, very disturbed that and rattled by the fact that Deimos is back in town. So he's only in town 5 minutes and he's already stirring. He's already stirring everybody.
Oh, yeah. He's always stirring,
Philip,
he's him and Belle went to Vegas. He talked Belle into going to Vegas with him, and of course now they slept together. And since he did that, Claire is so upset that she called Sean and begged him to come back to Salem. So now Sean Douglas is back in Salem, and we have Brandon Beamer back as Sean now. And he wants to get back, you know, he confronted Belle and wants to get back with Belle now. Belle's different. Belle's a different character.
Yeah,
Belle's a little slutty now.
She's
a little slutty.
Not her
she's
nice
a little nasty.
Anymore, is she?
She's no. Yeah. She's like Sam. I'm wondering, is this a substitute for Sammy? Is she going to turn into a Sam? Not a bad. Not like Sammy a little bit, but she's definitely not the Belle. She's definitely not Belle.
Well, she definitely has an edge that she didn't have.
She
before,
has the edge.
For sure.
No. Yeah, she's a little different. So there's that whole angle with Philip and Sean.
Kind of hard to. And honestly. So far, I mean, Martha Madison's great, but so far I'm having difficulty empathizing much with her. So I'm hoping they will show some vulnerabilities soon. because so far what we know is she cheated on Sean because she got bored because he wasn't around. And then
right, he's concentrating on his board.
Chased that guy off, I guess, when he found out or whatever. I can't remember how that broke up.
And then he filed for divorce. But
mm-hmm. Oh, that's right, yeah. And
but he's having second thoughts now.
Right. And, of course, now, like you said, Brandon Beamer's playing the role again. When we had Jason Cook back for the 50th, but he had another project or something, so he couldn't pick up the part again full time. So now we've got Brandon Beamer back. But what's really kind of interesting is Nadia Bjorlund's back as Chloe, and she
right.
and Brandon Beamer used to be like engaged or something so for years. So
yeah.
Interesting. Now, is it true that Nadia's pregnant, married and pregnant? I heard that from someone.
I heard she's
I
married and pregnant. I know she's married, and I heard she's pregnant. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
She's really sweet. She's a really sweet girl, so congratulations to her on that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so it might be interesting and a little awkward if they're in scenes together. But so far, it's been... You know,
there's so many different combinations we can go
oh
with
my
now.
Gosh.
You know, Nicole losing Daniel and Finn's back, maybe taking a little bit of interest in her. Of course, Brady has Daniel's heart, and he's dreamed of Nicole. And
uh-huh.
We can go back to Nicole again, still trying to get over Daniel's death. She's still,
uh-huh.
and there was a good scenes with her and her other Nicole.
Oh,
you know, she
yeah.
was talking to herself. They had her laying on the bed. You know, with her
drinking out of a bottle,
drinking out of a bottle, and she stands up and Nicole says, "What is wrong with you? You know, what are you doing? You know,
business
we got to get
Nicole.
Up, and we got to get moved." Yeah,
yeah,
business Nicole. We got to,
yeah.
So she kind of talked her into you know going back and getting back into work. And Daniel wouldn't want you to you know be laying around like this drinking
mm-hmm.
and wallowing. He wants you to get out there. And because Teresa had called her because Kate wanted her to come in, they needed to do a photo shoot and they needed Nicole there. So she kind of more or less
mm-hmm.
pushed herself to go. But before she did, mm-hmm. she went to see Brady. And it was so sweet. She put her hand on Brady's chest, on his heart. And he let her lay her head so she could hear Daniel's heart beating in his chest.
I didn't see that.
So,
oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yeah, so that was kind of an emotional part between her and Brady. You know, and he's like having these dreams of... You know, these
I saw that he consulted Marlena about these dreams.
About it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because
he told
he's
Teresa,
imagining...
too, who Dan
yeah,
told
that's
Nicole.
Good. Yeah.
So, yeah, so they're all kind of all out in the open now. So, yeah, so
which
that should
good.
Be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so many different men now coming in and different pairings that can be out there with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be interesting. And I guess Demos is going to need somebody. So who knows where it's all
going?
And Philip too. Is it Philip and Sean? You know, Philip and Belle, Belle and Sean, and then Nadia.
It's really
I don't know
a
if she's
difficult
staying.
Problem to have when you've got Andre and Dave, and like, all these amazing men in the. You know,
let's have both
like,
of them. You know,
it's just like a smorgasbord
of
hoochie.
Oh yeah,
smorgasbord.
Yeah. Take one of
I'll
each.
I'll take one of
know.
Those.
Yeah.
One of those. Oh, I want
so
more
it should
of
be...
that. I'll bet you we could even go back to for seconds on a few. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But, so, anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so lots of stuff going on in Salem right now. But Andre's been amazing. You want to pick
oh,
up?
Look,
go ahead.
Let me
yeah.
talk about Andre. Yes, yeah, Taylor has been amazing. This past week, especially figuring out Hope and Rafe are not pulling anything over on Andre. Of course, it started with he came home looking for father, and he sees the chest right away. The chess piece was
mm-hmm,
in the wrong position. Father would never put this chess piece in the wrong position, that which made him think, you know, and he calls the airline, and father rented this airline that they never even heard of to take him wherever. And they haven't heard anything. And, of course, in the meantime, he's trying to convince Chad. Chad won't hear anything of it. And he's telling Chad, you know, you don't – and more or less Chad's saying he doesn't care one way or the other. Like if whatever
mm-hmm.
happened, he doesn't really care, which makes him upset. So he's really frustrated. And then he finds this angel that has blood on the back, and he confronts Rafe. And he just beats Rafe up like one side up and down the other, you know, like, and Rafe's saying, oh, maybe he pricked himself because he had diabetes or something, and Andre just looks at him. But he said that he more or less accused him of being Hope's accomplice, and that he'll be,
so
you
he
know,
managed
watching
to think
him.
Because Hope was there the last time Andre mm-hmm. saw his father alive. Hope was there.
Right.
So he thinks
Hope
so
was
he
there.
Right
and
away
angry.
Thinks the Hope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Hope barged in on Andre, but mm-hmm. Stefano had sent Andre away.
That's right.
And so he comes home, and Stefano's not around, and they find blood, and the things are just not, like, adding up. And so there's another funny part that he hires his henchmen, of course, and they've been spying on Rafe, and they've been spying on Hope. And he comes in and he says, well, I pay you to bring me back useful information. You haven't had useful information. And the guy said, oh, excuse me, sir, but you haven't paid us in 2 weeks. And he turns around and tells him, shut up. You know, it was funny the way he did that. So, but here they did give him some useful information. They said that Rafe, they've been following Rafe, and he slows down at this highway 45 at this certain marker, and he'll slow down a little bit, and then he's been doing this for the last couple of days. So of course Andre goes on and he's Googling it, and he goes on, he said highway 41, but that, oh, there's an abandoned warehouse on right on this where this marker is. Oh, place to hide something. So this, all of a sudden we see this person coming down with his flashlight in a hard hat and gloves and a construction yellow thing on. I'm there, oh my God, that's a sight that you'll never see. Teo Penglis in a hard hat and a construction gear. I'm there. And it looked like he had it on over his suit. I'm there, oh my God, this is hilarious.
He probably did.
It was a black suit. It was hilarious.
Oh, that's
and
hilarious.
And he's on there with his flashlight, and he had the hard hat on. I'm there, oh my God. And I did tweet to him something about, you know, he's all about designers and fashion and all that. And so I asked him who his designer was. Who his designer was for the hard hat and the gloves he had on that day. Of course, I didn't get. I got ignored from that. But
that's
anyway,
funny.
Yeah. So anyway, that was the highlight of the thing. So anyway, so mm-hmm. he comes to the and it ended on Friday with him like finding. He doesn't know it's Stefano's body yet, but he comes over and you could see the where they have all this stuff piled up on where Stefano's body would be, and it looks like the building is about ready to cave in, and that's kind of how it ended.
Yeah,
and there's a promo
the
for next week.
The building's supposed to be getting demoed, like
demoed up, right?
It's going to be
because
demolished.
Well, you see in the promos, Rafe telling Hope, "We have nothing to worry about. They're demolishing that building tonight." So, and then
and
you see it
Andre
coming down, and Andre is, like, all beat. I mean, he's, like, cut, and he has a big Band-Aid on the side of his face, and so he's,
well,
he's like a real mess.
Well, the good news is that Andre
but
was wearing
out.
His hard hat.
Yes. So, yes. Yeah. So, I guess that's what saved him. So, anyway,
oh,
but then
yeah,
there's a lot more
always
to come in that
wear,
story.
As we say, always wear protection.
Yes. Yes. So... Yeah, but there's a lot more to come with that story. Now, are they going to eventually, find Stefano's body and what's going to happen? So, and will Rafe
yeah.
and Hope be found out or, you know, so.
Yeah.
Because
at the beginning of the week, you know, Hope's confessing to Dr. Malcolm's death.
Yes,
murder.
She confessed to that.
And
mm-hmm.
I guess I missed the part from the week before. So why did they think that was a brilliant idea? Because she and Rafe came up with that idea. So she
somehow
to keep
Stefano out of it. Like,
oh,
to,
okay.
It never was brought out. They thought that Stefano was the one that hired Malcolm, but they never conveyed that to like the police. We don't know who he was working for, but we knew it was Malcolm that was the one torturing Bo. So well, if they found out that Stefano was involved, like whoever real, you know, who would have been involved,
mm-hmm.
that would have been a motive maybe
mm-hmm.
for Stefano. Maybe he isn't missing. You know, not,
mm-hmm.
so everybody would... that's how I got it. I kind of missed that myself, too. So, but so she confessed,
yeah.
and she said it was self-defense,
mm-hmm.
and she went to Roman, and more,
mm-hmm.
and Justin dropped the charges. Justin wasn't
yeah.
a prick this time. He was kind of nice.
Yeah,
he was actually
once.
Nice. Yeah, for
yeah.
once. And why was he nice? Because she's really like family, you know, married to his cousin,
well, yeah, and plus
yeah.
the fact that, I mean, Dr. Malcolm was the one that was had Bo tortured, you know.
And
you know, so, like...
And that she had kidnapped
him. And it sounded plausible that, you know,
yes,
it sounded plausible that she had you know...
And there was no witnesses.
...been in a situation, right.
And he had threatened her, so she had...
So we agree with
Justin's decision, but she locked it out. That's how she, like Roman said, well, why didn't you, you told us you didn't do it. She said, well, I blocked it out. I was under so much stress with Bo dying and all that. So, yeah, she made it believable. And Roman bought it. But Roman's not completely stupid. He kind of thinks maybe something's up, I think, in a way. So, we'll see.
Yeah, because they both said something like, Roman and Justin both said after she left the room, do you believe what she was saying or something? Neither one of them believe her, but they let her off.
No, they don't. No.
They don't believe her because they don't really think she killed him. So, but obviously she killed somebody. We saw it, but it wasn't him. It wasn't Malcolm.
She killed somebody. She's admitted to killing somebody. And so they're covering it up. So I don't know, see how far it goes, and I'd like to see how she's going to get out of this, or if she's going to have to pay for it, or what's going to happen. So that'll be interesting. And, of course, there's a little bit of Rafe and Hope getting close. They almost kissed, and Sierra kind of walked in on them right when they were kind of almost ready to kiss. And he kind of picked up on that and more or less said, do you have feelings for, and of course, for Rafe, and she's denying it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We all know that.
So that's what's going on with the hate, with the Rafe and Hope and Andre storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that'll be the set. I think that'll be a lot of it next week. So I'll have to tune in for that.
And let's see.
John and his mother found his mother. Did you see that? That was kind of a strange.
I saw part of it.
Story.
Yeah. What's the deal? How did Eduardo lead him to his mom? Or how did that happen?
Yes.
Eduardo,
who was in Winterthorne. Yes.
Yeah.
He got a tip
right.
from one of his contacts about John's mother. And here it
and
was.
And it's really legit his mom, you think? Do you think it is?
Because he thinks it is.
The goon thinks John was out. Well, you go ahead and tell. How
yeah, the goon. Well, he comes and he finds his mom, Maud. She's a little old lady. Looks like a little sweet old grandma, Maud. And she explains to him that she brings out the medals from his dad, who was a Korean War veteran. And she said his dad was killed 3 months before he was born. And she couldn't raise him, and she didn't have a job. And so she put him up and gave him to this couple. And this couple had him, and then when he was real little, they got killed. And then they were given, that's when he went to the Alamanes. Okay, and of course, you know, after the Alamanes, they pretended he was dead, and they sent him off to Winterthorne, and that's where he was trained as a assassin or whatever. And then I guess after that, Stefano got a hold of him. They didn't really go in that far. But then...
Okay. This Winterthorne thing, is this like assassins for the good guys or for bad guys? I mean, like,
for bad
guys,
like,
ISA, for,
I guess.
Okay.
I'm thinking that's what I'm thinking.
I'm hoping that's what it
that's
is.
That's what I
know.
Thought. I'm thinking,
because
but
Eduardo,
I could be wrong.
I was really upset when I found out he was an assassin, but then I was like, well, but he seems like such a good guy. Maybe it was for the good guys, you know.
I'm not sure if it's the ISA or not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
But then all of a sudden John drinks this tea and then he falls to the floor and think, oh, she drugged him. And he accused him, my mother drugged me. Well, he was so well trained that he smelled it and he really wasn't out. So when that goon, whatever the guy, the head of whatever came in, he, you know, actually got him in a attacked him and demoted or whatever, and more or less told his mother didn't want anything to do with her because she turned on him. And she says, but I had to because they made me. So, and yeah, he must have, when John was out, he said to the lady, when he thought John was unconscious, he said to the lady, your son. And John heard him. So that's why John believes
Right.
You know, that it is.
But who do
you,
but
don't
we
know.
Don't know who the guy is. We don't know who it is that was wanting him drugged for whatever reason.
Yeah, and they want him back. I guess they want him back in the...
Oh.
It's kind of like maybe kind of like the mafia is. Once you get in, they don't want you to get out. So I don't know. Maybe it is a bad organization, too. I don't know. Because, see, John joined the ISA later. So I don't know. This could have been something not so good originally. So I don't know. So it's just kind of strange.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, very strange. So...
I have a caller. I think it's Angela.
Okay.
She's been listening, so maybe we can bring her on. Do you have anything else you can?
No.
See what.
Hello.
Angela?
Hey there.
Hi there. Hey, Marianne. Hey, Anna.
Hey. Good to hear from you.
Well, it's good to hear from you guys. I'm sorry I've missed a couple of weeks, but I had a question for you. I've seen part of this week, but I haven't seen all of it. And I think it may have been Friday a week ago where Kayla, of course, went over to Ava's, I guess, hotel room. And and caught her with Joey, and of course sent Joey home right away, and then Ava and Kayla really got into a pretty physical situation, which I can understand Kayla's perspective. I wasn't pleased either. But then she knocked Kayla out and she dragged her back into her room, and I don't know what happened after that. So did anything happen this week?
Well, the last we know is she has her hidden somewhere, because Kayla's supposed to be going off to this conference to answer for the organ donation stuff. And so she's supposed to be on this trip, but in the meantime, Steve came to the room and he found out Joey told him everything, and so he came and was yelling at Ava that he wasn't happy that she was behind this all and to more or less leave Joey alone. So I don't know where Kayla must have been back in she must have hidden her back somewhere. So we haven't seen any more from what she did with Kayla and what she's going to do with Kayla. We haven't seen anything more. There wasn't anything on this week about that.
I'm sure
Pat
will come
to rescue. He'll figure it out. But right now he's not thinking she's missing because
Ava went to where did she go? She went out of town. So she tells him that she...
Well, she gets the phone and texts. They do that all the time. Yeah, just like Stefano texts Andre and Chad.
I saw the part. See, I didn't know. I thought that was Kate. I thought that was her telling Steve
using her phone. That's what they do now. Within this day of texting. Kidnap somebody, Well, actually, Ben was doing the same thing to chat, pretending. Yeah, they were all...
I just didn't realize, because I knew that they had a fight the week before, but I didn't know she still had Kayla. So when I saw the one
because they haven't really had much
phone.
On this week about them. That's what they do. There's so many different... And there are a lot of different storylines going on.
Yeah,
so,
which is good. There's a lot of interesting things going on. So.
I was wondering
about that. And I've been assuming, which may be wrong, that Ava is staying at the bed and breakfast that Doug and Julie are running. You know, she's got all that flower wallpaper.
I wonder, because that does... Yeah, does
a
Salem Inn have that kind of flowery wallpaper, though? I don't know.
I can't figure
that one out. I don't remember where she was staying.
Yeah, the reason for some reason at the beginning I was thinking she was staying at this new bed and breakfast just because of the decor and stuff. It just looked
It's been really upset.
But there are tunnels underneath that Martin house.
Oh.
And that's what I'm trying to figure out. That was the reason
why
I was wondering. Because what is she going to do? Kayla, is a petite person, but I mean still... To be, moving a body, where do you go? I mean, that was one of the things I was wondering about it, because we still haven't heard the secrets behind that Martin Mansion. It's got to have tunnels, kind of like the old Doug's Place.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all were watching it, but I know, Marianne, you watched it back then. The old Doug's Place, you know, had tunnels, you know,
I remember
where Lexi got, you know, she got that eventually killed her. But, there's a tunnel that led over to the Demira Mansion. But anyway, I don't know. They have absolutely nothing to do with that. I don't know. But I'm just,
that's interesting. That's a very interesting idea. I just remember in the 80s being so, like, transfixed with that whole, like, the secret compartment, you know, the secret wall that led to the, you know, all that stuff is great. I love that.
Well, they did great stuff with that, even with Sean and Belle, you know, back in the, not, you know, late 1999, early 2000s. You know, they went down, whatever baby got kidnapped or was hidden, they were, you know, they were down in the tunnels and going all over the place, too. So that's not gone. But I had one other question, and I haven't been watching it as regularly as I should, and I also wanted to echo, I'm very excited about Vince Nazario joining Dave.
Oh, yes.
He is a superb actor. I've seen him on other things. Nothing regularly like Dave's, but I know he's a good actor. And he is supposed to be a very evil character. So he should give Andre probably a run for his money.
I'm hoping to see Steve with them together, like going up against each other. That would be fun.
I think so too. Maybe they'll be the ones that have the sword fight. But anyway, I was wondering, because I know these sets, you know, they're. I think this is a Jim Lilley interview, not the one with the diva. I haven't heard that one yet, but I'm real excited about listening to it. But I believe it was another interview with Jim Lilley that I had watched recently on YouTube, and she was talking about that they were actually using Studio One now as well, because they've got some of these other sets and so forth, and so they've got more room. Because there's nobody else filming anything over there at the Burbank studio right now.
Oh, okay.
So she was talking about that, and that evidently is maybe where Steve and Kayla's house is. And if you have things. But
that's kind of a new set at Steve and Kayla's house.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah. I love how you use the windows and it's so light. And things are so dark on the show. Mm-hmm. I love that house because it's bright in there.
Yeah, me too.
And
I noticed that too.
But the one thing I was wondering about is just when they went back over, and this was initially, I don't know if this was Maggie talking to Nicole about the funeral arrangements or quite what. But I know it was Maggie was there and someone else was there with her, and I think it was Nicole. And, you know, it had the same artwork up. They had the same sofa, but they were back to that other interim set they had before with that yellow and blue wallpaper. And it was not, and the fireplace was in a different place. And stuff like that just bothered me. So I started thinking, well, are they in a different room?
I probably didn't pick up on that. Mm-hmm.
They had pocket doors, rather than the open, the doors, just like they really have over at the Demira Mansion. They had pocket doors instead. And at first I thought, well, maybe they're visiting at, start thinking, well, maybe they're visiting over there at the bed and breakfast, and this is a different set. But I said, no, these are the same pictures. The paintings are the same. The sofa's the same. The sofa really does not match the wallpaper. And the fireplace was a different fireplace, and it was behind the sofa. This shows you how ridiculous I can get about things.
I know how it is. I used to try to figure out when I was a kid watching Dallas, I would always try to figure out, like, how is that house really laid out? I can remember trying to figure out where everyone's rooms were and all, it's like, okay, it is actually a real house, but, so I can relate to that. I can relate to that level of nerddom, Angela.
Okay. Well, thank you. I joined the nerd circle.
You're in good company.
But I loved, you know, the first episode when they revealed Vince Nazario, Damus.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right? That's how you
say his
name. When, you know, because he was sort of in the room over in a different corner, you know, when
mm-hmm.
he turns around and everything. And so, and I was thinking, I just want them to say we're in a different study, kind of like I guess what they were saying.
I know what you mean. It is different from what we're used to, what we were used to seeing in the DeMere
Mansion.
And it's
a smaller room again. And, you know,
it's
we've already
smaller room, just
small,
like
tiny room.
Just like the DeMere Mansion. They're using that little study instead of the
DeMere,
big den.
The DeMere thing needs to be increased. That's too small.
Mm-hmm.
That room right now is way too small. That
mm-hmm.
sofa takes up 3/4 of the room.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't get into interior design. I just noticed that, and because I really dislike that wallpaper that they put in over there at the because that wallpaper has been used several other places at different times, but it does not match any of the Kiriakis furniture. And it just really, and, you know, I know it's not that big of a deal, but it just, I don't know, that just struck me. I'm wondering, is Caroline going to stay permanently at the Kiriakis Mansion?
We haven't seen her for a while, but that's where she's supposed to be, the last I can remember. Boy, we haven't even really talked to her that late.
Well, and she had those premonitions about that Damon thinking, you know, ended up being Damos.
She thinks she's very evil.
Because Damien from The Omen, everybody,
that's the
name everyone's, because I've seen that movie too, and I'm like, ah, you know, that's, you know.
So,
I would never
name
my kid Damien after seeing that movie.
Peggy McKay looks so good. Yeah, I'm several episodes behind right now, but I think Peggy McKay must be wearing her own wardrobe, and I mean she looks fantastic.
Oh yeah,
she does.
She looked great at Day of Days. Oh, I just loved her outfit she had on.
Yeah,
and she's so petite.
And I think she might have worn it on the show too. I think she's worn it on the show already.
She's
lovely. So I'm glad that we've seen her a little bit, but I kind of wonder, the big issue with Damos and Philip is surrounding that formula, right?
Right.
The drug.
I think so.
Because
they can make
multi-billions of dollars from the fact that not only that it cures whatever disease that she has supposedly, but that it creates accurate premonitions.
pretty much so.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she's seen Victor having a heart attack, and that hasn't happened yet, or dead or a heart attack, so I don't know.
Yeah.
He's, like, laying there, so that hasn't happened,
but
that doesn't mean it won't, so
I
don't know.
Well, but I can't take it if John Aniston and Joe Mescal leave the show.
Oh, gosh.
Three of my favorite characters are over 80.
You probably didn't have a chance to listen to the podcast, but I think it was at last week's, Marianne, where I said, hey, Angela, if you're listening, I'm curious to know. But there was the Mark Higley was credited with the script on the episode that Stefano died on. And I thought, because Dina's husband's a writer, right? I mean, that was her husband, right?
Yeah, and he was one of the primary writers when the strike initially started.
That's right. He was one of the scabs, right? Or what do they call it?
Obviously, I'm not happy about seeing anything to do with Mark Higley or Dina Higley. But
she's not a fan either.
I'm not a fan.
It's hard to tell on the credits because sometimes people keep saying they're seeing Beth Milstein's name. I'm not seeing it when I'm watching it. And so I don't know if it just hasn't gotten to
yet
or if it only popped
up. Started,
she could be on the previous, she could be on the breakdown writers list maybe.
I didn't see her there either, but she may be there. I don't know. Or maybe we just haven't gotten to that point. You know, of course, they're filming, July now?
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't come. You know, we haven't gotten to that point yet. But I will say that several episodes Richard Colton, you know, and mm-hmm. Carolyn Colton are still writing.
Mm-hmm.
I
mm-hmm.
have not seen Melissa Salmon's too many episodes.
Let's see, she was doing a lot of Patch and Kayla's stuff, I think, the ones where they had big scenes.
Yeah.
And I think Chabby, I think some of the Chabby stuff maybe too.
Yeah. But then they had, and they've hired this girl named Danielle Page, which I read about, gosh, months ago. Mm-hmm. And so I guess she's starting to do the teen stuff because
she's
a young
few,
adult writer.
Yeah.
Mark Higley has cropped up quite a bit. I think they've gotten rid of Janet, and I never can pronounce her last name.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, she writes a lot for General Hospital, too. And,
oh, okay.
So I don't know, I've been looking kind of to see if she's going to pop back up over at General Hospital. But she seems to have dropped off. David Cheryl, who is still on there, and
uh-huh.
I can, he's, you know, and I have a lot of respect for him. The gentleman is quite seasoned. I mean, I think he was writing soap back maybe in the late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah.
He's
usually
a senior
not my
fella.
His scripts
and,
probably usually aren't my favorite, but.
Yeah, you can usually tell. But again, I respect that he's still out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
well, and one
writing.
Day it surprised me because, you know, I play guest the script writer sometimes, and I was like, when it was his, I thought it was a really good show, and I looked and he was the script writer, so I was like, well, you know, I mean, I just think it's because the Colletons stand out so much, and Melissa Salmons does such a great job with, like,
mm-hmm.
history and romance and all that, that I think it's not that he's a bad writer, it's just that I think we pick up on some of the undertones more than probably the average, you know, viewer, just because we pay more attention to that stuff. But usually I can tell.
Well,
too,
it could be generational too. I mean, I'm not saying that they shouldn't have people that older,
okay.
but he's still there. But I'm not seeing Janet, and. You know, and I've also seen a couple of changes. It looks like they may have pared down a little bit on the breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
I have to look at it. But I've seen several episodes. I've seen some different name combinations, so I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just, like I said, the Mark Higley thing, I mean, I just.
Well, I'm wondering,
too,
like, Dina's name is still listed in the credits, but,
mm-hmm.
Like, I guess she tweeted something pretty cryptic. On September 5th or 6th or something,
mm-hmm.
and she didn't tweet for a long time after that. And I don't know, of course, even though I don't typically like her writing on the show, I certainly don't wish for anything bad to happen to her or her family or anything like that.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
nobody
you know,
wants,
of course.
Yeah.
But I wondered because I've gotten the impression that maybe she's not writing, or she hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she was writing.
That's
at
what
that
I
point,
think too.
Like,
nope,
maybe the
there.
Things that are airing. Let's see. Well, it still could be another.
There's really
month
no
or two.
Way to tell. The head writer thing, because you know, even back when, number one, the first example is when they had the writer strike. Like around,
mm-hmm.
I think, whatever it was, early 2008, remember when they had the plane crash?
Mm-hmm.
And
and everything was just like that. Everything was just like that. It was like that.
Yeah, the senior Mr. Brady was killed, and you know,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people, you know, and there were some cute moments, but you know, that was also the end of Hogan Sheffer's. Writing, you know, that's not always happens.
And then shortly after that,
on
Tony was killed in March of
that
following year.
Yeah,
because he had good story up until that time, and
Well, like I said, the big problem was just from like November until April, it was the writer strike, and so they really weren't listing anybody. And then when they last round, not this current round, but the last round that they hired or fired Dina, and I've noticed this on like Jason's 47 on his board, that they've gone back now and they asterisk and they say even though she was not given credit on screen, they're giving credit to she and Mark Higley for the writer strike in 2008. Which before they were not doing that, and I'm like I said, have no idea how that, you know, that's just a trip piece of trivia. But I do think, like I said, I can't imagine. I had to be thrilled with Beth Milstein, because Beth Milstein, you know, she was like the heart of the Patch and Kayla story. She also wrote a lot of the good stuff, you know, when about the time that I think Lauren Coslett started as Kate, you know, and they were with the Curiosities and everything. So I really do hope, you know, I mean, she's obviously, you know, a Sony person. So I do hope that she is coming in to the show. Like I said, I just don't, you know, like I said, you can't really tell from you know what's showing up on the screen. As a matter of fact, Melissa Sammons, and I don't even remember when this has been. This could have been September or this could have been December. I can't remember when it was. But I know that somebody had made a comment about, because Melissa Sammons' name was the last name on the script writing, and someone was writing in about, and it was a compliment, I believe, about the script, and Melissa responded back and said that that was an error, that she actually was not the person that wrote that script. So, so I don't, you know, and if they're filming 8 episodes a week, and they're doing it by set and forth. How can you figure out?
It's insane how fast they write, how many shows they do.
I think it's like I said, we all know we're not happy about them filming so far ahead and trying to just shove so much. Because I think it's
Let's just hope the show gets renewed. I'm just right now. We need to pull our
getting close.
Well, it's got to happen this month, folks. They got to say something. NBC has to say something. That doesn't mean somebody else couldn't pick it up, but I'm just saying NBC has to say something in January. I mean, it's just the drop dead date. They have to.
It seemed like
I thought it was February, but
seems like November. Like that. Whatever I read recently that NBC is saying that they want Days, but, you know, still trying to haggle with probably Sony or Ken or something. I don't know.
Well, somebody's got to be making some money somewhere. I don't know. But I think, you know, certainly with as many young people now that they have, you know, they don't have to pay them as much. They've got some folks like, you know, that are really some seasoned actors. I'm excited about Vince Nazario, but you know, he hasn't worked in the last 4 or 5 years very much. So, you know, I'm sure there are folks that are, you know, maybe something that are not being paid what they were paid, say, when they were All My Children. But, and of course, and we've got Cassie DePaiva leaving. I think her last day is February 2nd. So I think that's coming up, sadly. But anyway,
I finally started liking her character, you know, when Patty died. So it's like,
it's just like she actually, you know, she was, you know, before there was nothing to like. There was nothing. Mm-hmm. But then again, like I said, and then all this extreme interest in Claire, you know, and anyone listening to her from her past history, you would think, listen, you really don't need to be advising anyone about anything to do with how they raise their children. that's kind of one of those. You know, sometimes they come out there and they'll have a character that will actually say what the audience thinks. And I keep waiting for that moment with Cassie, not Cassie personally, but with Eve,
Where's Lucas right now? I'm really mad that Lucas isn't on. I haven't seen him in forever.
Or Adrian. And Justin's only on because he's the VA. That's it.
All right. Well, and the Lucas interview, you know, the last Lucas interview, I guess from Day of Days, basically said they weren't really using him that much. They killed off his son. And I know we saw him that one day that they pretty much, I think, dropped the Adrian breast cancer story.
It just went poof. That's so sad. I think she's not really sucks. I would love to see Lucas get her through that or whatever, you know, since right now.
Well, I want to see Lucas with somebody. I still think, I don't know how they would work it, but I would like to see Lucas and Teresa. He actually did her screen test with her.
Oh, okay.
Hmm. And
I guess that could be interesting.
I mean, she's kind of like a Sammy character. I'm not really excited about Belle being the new Sammy.
Yeah,
which is, you know, y'all were talking about that earlier, and I do think that looks to be the situation. But I think the fact that she has just cheated on Sean unmercifully, she slept Belle up. For how many months did she hide the fact that Claire was even, was Philip's child? I mean, they went through that whole kidnapping thing, if y'all remember that story, and that was she still thought it was Philip's son. So, and then she's off in Maine going to law school. I don't know how in the world they got to Maine. And then she's going to law school and then gets involved with yet another person, then comes back and now she's involved with Philip. Belle wore the purity rings, folks.
I love Martha Madison, but right now they're not making her very, like, it's almost kind of like Eve, like where they're not, they weren't writing, when she came on for most of her time, where they weren't writing her to be rootable. And it's like here her daughter is begging her to spend the weekend with her, and she chooses
back.
I guess.
That up. Yes.
Yeah, and she chooses to go through Philip in Vegas, and Belle knows it, you know? So it's like, Claire knows
Claire
it.
Knows,
and I thought that was really cold.
That
she comes across very cold to me. I don't know. I'm not seeing a lot of warmth with her. And, you know,
I think Marlena needs to have a serious talk with Belle. I do think they're trying, you know, and I mean, and Sammy did bad things, but, you know, there was also always some other reason. Sometimes it was a crazy reason.
Right.
Like in this situation, it was almost kind of like,
well, I guess I'll just go fly off to Vegas with Philip. You know, I mean, it's just been weird. It's like, I just was kind of like, really? I mean, I don't know.
And I'm curious, too, how they're going to do it, because one of the things that in the last letter or text or whatever it was that she was communicating with Sammy, I find it just fabulous that she can communicate with Sammy and Sammy's friend, and yet nobody can track any of this stuff down. I think it's amazing.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's like Sammy said something to the effect, I guess when she gave her the $250 million, that, you know, she needed to do something big with it.
Hmm.
Yeah, she still hasn't decided what she wants to do with it.
So maybe she's going to maybe she'll end up, like, walking in as a silent partner kind of thing in one of these ventures or something, or I don't know.
She's going to have to be the only attorney besides Justin,
who's
the district attorney now in town. And, of course, poor Hope was nearly fighting for her life on a murder charge, and she talks to her on the phone, gets all that stuff squared away. What would have even happened if Justin had said, well, we're going to book you. You're going to be in jail. Belle's off for the weekend unless she'll see you when she gets back. I think they are definitely trying to make her Sammy-ish. And I just don't think they can replace. I think there's never going to be another Sammy. But I think Teresa has got enough of that. If the way they're writing Teresa right now, she's got the push and pull now, more than before. So, like I said, that's kind of why I still would think that Lucas might be, because Lucas has lived through that. And live to tell the tale.
I don't know why, but for whatever reason, I guess because Teresa was his niece for all those years, or cousin. Was it cousin or niece? I forget.
Who?
Let's see. Teresa is Kim.
Teresa's a Brady.
Yeah.
He's a whore.
Teresa's a Brady.
It's cousin. Yeah, so she's Sammy's cousin, right?
She's Sammy's cousin, but she's not related to Lucas.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is, because even though she hasn't been on the show all this time, to me, it's a little weird because it's almost like they're related to me. In my mind, I always think of Lucas and Teresa as related, even though I know they're not blood related. So I guess that's why I didn't see them as romantic or whatever. I don't know.
I don't see.
I guess it could be a possibility. Heck,
there aren't too many people that aren't blood related, you know,
yeah,
quite frankly.
That's
so
true.
It's kind of,
there's not too many people in Salem that aren't blood related. It's like, really,
know.
You know.
True.
There's Slim Pickens
there.
Yeah.
Well,
and really, technically,
Brady and Teresa are blood related.
Yeah.
I don't care.
They rewrite your story. They dismantled that. Yeah, they dismantled that.
Yes.
In one sentence.
Well, that's still not. Yeah, they're really
blood
related.
Yeah, that still doesn't sit with me. Yeah, but now their kids would be a Brady Demira cluster. You know,
yeah.
Blood.
Go back.
So I
don't know. I still can't figure that one out.
One of them calls her grandmother, and the other one calls her Caroline. And
Then we have the whole thing with Hope and Julie, her sister and her stepmother.
Yeah, that's a role.
Yeah, well, and then they don't want to. They want to say, "Oh yeah, Ava was responsible for killing Sean Senior," but then nobody wants to talk about why they were in Ireland. Or anything like that, you know? So,
I wrote a tweet.
I haven't tweeted in several weeks, but one of the last tweets, I had just finished reading a book on Alfred Hitchcock and some of his work, and so, you know, there's a lot of discussion in that book about the MacGuffin, and, you know, how, you know, because I think I've said for a long time, but when they brought up Out of the Blue Sky, that whole thing about Abigail and Ireland and all that money that
the land out of Ireland.
And I just kept saying, I don't think that means a thing. And so now I'm almost feeling, I'm not quite 100% vindicated, but I really am beginning to feel I'm going to be vindicated that turned out to be a nothing. Because it's not even mentioned anymore.
It's not even mentioned anymore. No.
So there's.
Why was Stefano pushing so hard to get Abigail together with that? Chad, I don't understand.
Yeah, to get the land.
No, and he wanted her to get with Belle. You know,
huh?
I mean,
but now
like,
they want to get to with Belle so they can find out where the money is.
The money is. But before, he was pushing Chad with Abigail.
Abigail.
Because of the land that she was going to inherit from some lady that babysat her.
That could not have, with the timeline, that none of that could have really occurred.
No.
I watched it long. But, you know, I mean, there's all
that
kinds
was just
of
weird.
Things
that
happen
I was
on
just
the show.
Like,
what? Yeah. But I just think that came out of the blue sky. That envelope came kind of out of the blue sky, then nobody mentioned it, and then a couple of other mentions, and then it just went away. So hopefully, maybe some of the things that they've got on the screen maybe are MacGuffins, because I just can't figure out.
Some of them are what? What was that?
MacGuffins, you know, they look like they're really clues, but then it turns out that they really don't mean anything.
There was a lot of, like, a red herring or something like that. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of like a red herring. The Salem killer? There was so many. That was a crazy thing, trying to figure out who the killer was.
I hope they don't bring Ben back. I know everyone really liked Ben towards the end because it was certainly more interesting rather than him just playing the nice guy.
He is coming back. I heard Ben.
I don't know what's going to happen with that because I don't know. I don't know that I really want to go there again. I said that was one of the worst.
He was so good, though. Oh my gosh!
He was so good.
I became
oh, and after meeting him in person,
thing.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
he's a
doll.
It's okay, but the serial killer thing. I saw him on the All My Children online thing, and he played Petey Coral. And he was really good. I really liked him on there. And I was not into him when he replaced whatever his name is, Justin Gaston or whatever, the course guy that was on there for 13 weeks and they replaced him.
Then he was
super dull for a while, just kind of tending mm-hmm. bar.
Oh, he was dull until he became
TV.
A psycho.
But just without even thinking about his character or even about James Reed's character. I've already forgotten his name, Claude. And James Reed is, you know, a super actor. I mean, that was a feather in the cap that I don't think they really exploited at all that he was on the show. I mean, he's a big deal. But anyway, the serial killer thing itself, I just think, was just a waste of time. just like the elephant, and we all hate the whole elephant, and
I don't know.
No offense to Melissa Archer.
I like the killer story though. I really did. I hate the elephant thing.
The victims didn't have to die like that, and I just don't think they did a very good job. It certainly,
because there are psychos out there like that that do that kind of or worse. You know,
I know, but
production
value of Melissa Archer's murder was not very good. I didn't think. I mean, just looked like a plastic bush, and you know,
I honestly was tuning out a lot of that stuff until that storyline was over.
She could have just picked up and left town. I mean, she really could have. She could have picked up and left town, and it would not have made a hill of beans.
But honestly, I thought the build up to the whole, you know, Ben burning down the cabin or whatever I thought all that was really good. I don't know. It was probably the most engaged I've been in a non-Kate storyline in a long time, you know. I just really was pretty pulled in, I guess, so.
Yeah, in my opinion, it was pretty good. And like I said, it was not my favorite. Frankly, it was exhausting to me. I didn't like to see a pregnant woman tied up.
It was intense. It was very intense.
But we all knew that Chad was going to come to the rescue.
They
were going to let that happen.
That was like 2 weeks over there, and then they took that poor woman out and shot her.
That was awful. To me, the whole thing just got a little bit too grim
for me. But that's just me. But like I said, now they've and they quickly resolved that within a day or two, you know.
When we were talking with them at the Dave Days, they were all trying to get their Emmy reels turned in, figure out what Emmy thing they were going to turn in, and we were talking to Robert about that, and we were like, oh my gosh, those scenes with you and James Reed at the jail, at the cop shop, oh my gosh, those were so good. And so I hope he submitted those. I can't remember. And Kate was asking, I said, well, I had just seen the one where he had her tied up and all, and he brought her back Chinese food and all that stuff, I said, honestly, I felt like throwing up after those scenes. I was so, like, the tension and just the whole predicament and everything, it was so real to me, it was just, like, really, I said, those were really good. She goes, I left and threw up after that. She goes, she threw up in her dressing room or whatever, but it actually made her physically ill, like, to do it. But I said, those scenes would be good ones to turn in because those are really intense. It definitely had me on the edge of my seat. I felt a little nauseous during some of it, but, but anyway, so.
I was thankful when it was over, but I'm glad the baby was found and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, now we don't know what's going to happen now. If Kate and Nancy's leaving, are they going to recast?
So hard because here Chabby just gets back together, and it's kind of sad because especially all the really big Chabby fans are like, now they know Kate Nancy's leaving, It's like, I hate that.
And they could cast another Abigail, but it might not be the same. You know how that goes when you bring a different actor in. It might not be the same chemistry. Right.
Well, we were talking about Chad and Teresa maybe. So that would be, might be interesting. That's when Billy Flynn called in the other night. That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. He sounds interested in that.
I saw an episode, and this may have all changed because I may have missed it, so I apologize ahead of time if I'm way behind things. But at one point, he really talked about whether or not he was going to change his name back to Peterson Woods. Did that just kind of die off, or is that still a potential?
What's that?
I just saw one conversation about that. I don't think they're going to go there. I could be wrong. But.
No, he's a DeMera.
No,
I mean,
no.
You the mayor. I mean, he's fighting the family, but he hasn't said anything about, you know, changing the name, putting his name back, even though he says he's leaving the family. But I don't know. I haven't heard that, though.
Well, but to protect the baby.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Well, Stefano's gone now, but Andre knows that the baby's his, so I don't know. I don't know if, you know,
well,
Stefano's always
the one that always wants the baby. The mirrors are gone. We still don't know who Clyde really worked for, you know. I think there's still, the Malcolm thing. I mean, we still don't know. I mean, I don't think everything,
we're still not clear on that whole.
Aiden. But, you know, I would like for Aiden to come back, you know. And explanation for that.
I'm really hoping that maybe he truly did have an evil twin. And because he definitely died in front of everyone. Bo definitely killed him. But I would totally buy an identical evil, good twin.
there's always evil twins out there somewhere.
They really did not do. I don't think they did right by him at all. And I really think at least NBC ought to put him on, you know, Law and Order or something for a couple of episodes. Do something to compensate him because
he is so good.
He was given a very difficult situation.
I'm really hoping that they realize by the time they wrote him out, maybe they realized what a following he had, you know, with Hope. Maybe they'll, you know, I don't know. That's my hope at this point, is that eventually, you know, maybe he'll be the evil twin or something. Because, I mean, he did sleep with Hope on their wedding night. So, you know, it would be more believable if he had a literal evil, or a literal
That was a totally crazy situation. That whole honeymoon situation.
You could totally buy it that he had him locked up somewhere or something. But then again, has anybody been feeding him this whole time? But you know, it's like you could totally buy that somebody has him somewhere. You know, I mean, in the Demira basement, underground, somewhere.
Sure.
He's around somewhere.
Good.
I'm choosing to believe
that because I think Daniel just kicked it out of the park. I mean, everybody, you know, so many people love Hayden, even people that had been longtime Boat fans like me, you know, really bought into Hayden. But then also Daniel just did such a great job at the end there where, I mean, he just did a 180 and it was like,
I just think he's very professional. I have never he's been on a bunch of different soaps.
And here he was commuting from the East Coast, leaving his family to do it and stuff back and forth. But I definitely hope that that's in the offing.
Somebody needs to pick him up. I don't know quite what he wants to do. I mean, that's the other question too, but it just was unfair. I mean, and I love Peter Reckles. You know, I would love for them to come back and say, but Bo's not dead. You know, I would completely buy into that again because I really I loved having Bo. But you know, like I said, it's they can't do that with everybody and everything. And so, like I said, we'll just kind of wait and see. I wonder one other question. I'm going to be quiet because this is the last thing I had is that. With the situation with Hope and Ray, I wonder if, and I don't know what the law situation is on this, but it's almost like they might need to get married just so that they don't have to testify against each other.
Could be. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. If it happens before they get married, is that does that still give them the ability not to testify?
Oh, no. That I don't know. But just hope they could make anything up. Yeah, but that's a good question. Yeah.
That's a good question. Sure. Things that make you say,
I don't know. Well, I guess we'll just have to tune in next week. See what happens when Andre finds the body and whatever happens after that.
Is that supposed to happen next week?
It looks like from the promos, that's what's going to be happening.
We were joking earlier that Andre has his hard hat on, you know, his construction outfit on over his Italian leather suit or Italian suit.
That was
and
hilarious.
I said, well, you know, when the building blows up and all, and he survives, I'm like, well, safety first. You know?
Yeah.
So, good thing he had his hard hat on.
That's right.
So, anyway, Angela, did you get to see the pictures we were that were being tweeted at Condre fans and other, like, I know different Instagrams and like James Reynolds Instagram and who else?
Yeah, Teo had a dinner party last
Christian?
Night.
Christian, yeah. Teo had a dinner party last. Oh yeah, go to Condre fans and there's some pictures there and a new Avi. And
okay.
And then also check out Lauren. I don't know if Lauren put any on Instagram or anything. I think she tweeted something or put something out there on Facebook. But I know that Jim Reynolds' Instagram and Christian Alfonso and so on.
Yeah, she
so
put them out.
It was Jim and his wife, Christian and her husband, Lauren and Nikki. And Leanne was there, and Teo, and there may have been other people there, but those are the people that I saw in the pictures anyway.
Wonderful.
So Teo made him dinner. So yeah, so it was neat to see them all together in like a social setting like that. So
yeah,
and what's not to love about having Teo's cooking? Oh my gosh!
Yeah, moussaka.
I bet
if he
imagine if he auctioned a dinner party at his home. At
oh
like
my gosh.
One of these charity
I'd
events.
Have to mortgage my house.
He made moussaka. He made moussaka at his house.
Moussaka.
Yeah, moussaka.
Yes.
Oh, I love that.
Scallops and
yeah.
capers. And shrimp.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I don't know what was for dessert. Maybe Teo, perhaps. I don't know. But anyway.
That would be dessert for me.
You'll enjoy the pictures, though. There's some pictures of Lauren on Teo's lap, so Marianne's very jealous.
Yes, she got the lap, yeah.
And
my heart went out. My heart just went out. Well, I was sad about it myself.
Bowie.
But
my heart just
went out to Lauren Coslow when David Bowie passed away.
I know. It's been really hard. It's so sad.
It's sad.
Too much death lately.
One nice thing is that, you know, and I did not realize he had never had a number one album, but Black Star, the one that he released 2 days before his birthday, is, you know, knocked Adele off from number one spot.
Oh, I didn't realize. I knew it had gone number one. I didn't realize it knocked Adele off, though. But I guess I didn't put two and two together on that.
You know, he was just amazing, you know, because he had, you know, decades of work. And generations of
people
that really have followed him.
If you didn't follow him before much, when you look at him in retrospect, you go, wow. It's kind of like and then Glenn Frey died.
Oh,
like a lot of people have passed away in the last few
Alan Rickman.
Weeks,
yes.
Yeah.
I know, and they were all like 68 or 69 years old.
And cancer.
That's old.
That's
young to be
passing away. Yeah, that's a little sensitive right now.
Celine Dion lost her husband. What's that?
I know, and her brother. Oh, the whole cancer thing's a little sensitive.
And her brother,
right now.
Her husband and her brother.
I really feel bad for Celine Dion. That was terrible.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
that's
like
awful.
That.
I mean, that's just like. Just like pile on, you know. It's like, geez, I just that's so sad.
Well,
you
know, that's kind of what happened to Diane Sawyer 2 years ago, whenever it was, because her mother died, and 2 weeks later her husband died.
Oh, I didn't realize her mother had died right around that time. Mm-hmm. I knew Mike Nichols had died, but I didn't know her mom. She lost her mom too.
It was
two weeks
before. So I mean, it's a lot of that situation. But here recently, it's just been ridiculous. And Alan Rickman, I loved in Love Actually. I didn't watch a lot of his other movies. I didn't watch
I wasn't into
Harry Potter.
I mean, I remembered him from that, but I only watched the first few, and then I lost interest because it wasn't really my era, I guess. I don't know.
Well,
but,
Love Actually is one of my favorite holiday movies, and so I have seen it a bunch. So that was really sad to me. And I'd heard someone died, and they said it was from somebody on Love Actually, and I didn't, and that was several hours before I could pick back up with it to see that it was
there were just several people. I was just like going, next thing you know, It's like, you know, I was just like, I was afraid I was going to see like Betty White or something like that. I mean, I'm like, well, come on, give us a break, people. You know, it's like so
yeah,
sad,
it was just like every
know?
Day is another one and another
yeah,
one.
Yeah, because it was like between and Celine. I mean, she's got those three little kids. Oh, I guess we're way off topic, but it's just so sad. I know I hate cancer. Mm-hmm. Cancer sucks.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, it's been such a long haul for her, though. Having had people that had been
he was
ill,
so sick,
that,
yeah.
You know, but she obviously her husband's been sick for quite some time, but it, evidently her brother has been fighting cancer for 2 years as well.
Yeah.
So I mean,
oh, yeah,
it's you know, it's just a lot. There's a lot of stress. Just
well, I have this
you know,
I have this
day-to-day.
Doctor. I have this doctor that I've known for many years, and he's like a friend too, you know. And he's Egyptian, and he's always so like. He reminds me a little bit of Teo. He's got that sparkle in his eye and that curiosity, and he loves to tell stories, and he's just really an interesting person. Anyway, and I always love him. He's like, I'll go and I'll meet with him, and he'll be like, you know, I'm surprised you know all this. Like, where do you get all that? You know, because I'm, like, really curious about, like, what's going on overseas and, you know, in Egypt and things and stuff. So he's always like, wow, I like talking about it. But anyway, he said, you know, he said one day, he's like, life has no memory. And I'm like, huh? You know, it's like one of his little riddles. I'm like, what? What do you mean? And I said, well, you know, like his son died. I was killed in an accident when he was like in his 20s. And he was in medical school. His son was. And he said, and then his sister died like 6 months later, you know, and stuff. And he's like, it's not like, you know, life said, oh, well, because your son died, your sister's time isn't gonna happen now. You know what I mean? He's like, sometimes, like, life, you know, shit happens, basically. You know what I mean? You know, it's like, we don't know when all those things are going to happen, you know, and it's just like, I know the thing about it is, like, Celine seems like a really strong person, you know, and, you know, and I'm sure I read something about how she had been trying to, like, prepare her kids and stuff because she's probably known for a long time. But you know, even when I've had loved ones that have been ill, and you still don't believe it's going to happen till the end. Even if there's some like on one level you realize it's not looking good, but you never want to feel like you're giving up on them. You know, so
no preparation.
The loss is
to me
a loss,
one of the
no
most thoughtless things. One of the thoughtless things.
Oh yeah, when
people
say,
isn't it a relief or something? And I'm just like, no, it's not a relief.
No, it's not. I mean, you might be thankful that the person's out of pain, but it's not a relief to lose that loved one. You know, but anyway, yeah, I agree. So I mean, just think she's been, and all along she's been mourning, you know, worried about her brother too, which we didn't even know about until he passed away. So I don't know. It's just, So 2016 has been interesting so far. It's not run, but yeah, I agree. And Lauren got a lightning bolt, tattoo inside of her forearm, as a tribute to David Bowie and stuff, and her daughter did too. So I was like, oh. So anyway, so yeah, I mean, it's just sad.
Well,
yeah,
how brave it was. I have not seen the full video, but have you seen a portion of the video, the Lazarus video that he did?
Apparently, talking about looking at you from heaven, like you. I mean, it's just like there's so many like layers of things and stuff. I don't know.
But to think how difficult that had to have been for him to do that, knowing.
Yeah.
That he knew he was dying,
yeah.
And he did that.
It's a huge loss. I mean, he was, like I said, he was truly a superstar. And whether you watched him in the 80s or you watched him in the 70s you watched him, whatever, you know, he had so many different eras and different things, you know, just lots of different things, and it's just a real shame. But and then Glenn Frey, I love the Eagles, and you know, and he started the Eagles, and they were supposed to be inducted into the Kennedy Center Honors, I think the last two times, and they have postponed it because he had been so ill.
Oh.
So eventually, I'm sure they'll eventually induct him, but they won't have him there.
Yeah.
It's like a songbook, you know, of all of our lives.
Yeah.
If you're over, you're over 40.
Oh yes, that's
yeah.
What, yeah.
Yeah,
and that's
oh,
see, that's
I'm
what happens. The older we get,
29.
Is all these
yeah.
people around, you know,
know,
that we grew up with are dying because we're getting older. They're getting older. Yep.
I know.
I know. Oh well. So much about that. Let's go.
Well, let's end up the
yes.
hour.
What a happy tone.
Yes. Let's end on a happy note now.
Thanks so much, Angela, for calling
yes.
in and spreading your
yes,
gloom.
Thanks. Yeah.
I was trying to be respectful.
Please,
I didn't mean to be a sounder.
Please do call back in about 10 years.
No.
Sorry.
That was fine.
No, but that was very sweet of you about David. Yeah, that was
sweet.
We know. All right. Well, that...
We'll just leave it at the
happy.
On to find out what Andre does next week. We'll be anxious
yes.
to see that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, it was great hearing from
you. Well, thanks. It was a nice show.
Yeah.
Take care.
Thanks for calling in. Okay. Have a good
week,
everybody.
Thanks for calling in, Angela.
All right, sweetie. I'll take care.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All
righty. Bye-bye.